Welcome everyone to the Mandalorian podcast by Fantastic Geek, your official, unofficial podcast for the Outer Rim. My name is Matt, and joining me in the co-pilot seat is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Matt. Hello, everybody. We are here finally inside of a month before Disney Plus launches, bringing us the first live-action Star Wars television show ever.
Indeed, Pete, and by my math, as I look at the counter on the Disney Plus website, it looks like they will launch at, by my math, midnight Eastern on the appointed day, of November 12th. Bottom line, I guess ultimately they could change the counter just arbitrarily, but it's probably smart to do it overnight, and that way, if there's any, you know, technology issues, you get to solve them in the wee hours as opposed to spectacular issues that make people angry on social media. Looking at you, CBS All Access.
You have to wonder, will there be some kind of publicity stunt to show the pilot? Will they put the first act up someplace? Will the piece that is on YouTube, that's been on YouTube for the better part of 2.5 months, disappear to the outrage of social media? What will promote it? This, Matt, as we're on standby on Sunday, October 13th, as we're recording this for the full Rise of Skywalker trailer, expected, nay, demanded to hit in the next 36 hours.
It certainly will be interesting to see how Disney handles the launch, and particularly how much of the forefront in the marketing that surely is going to happen in these next 30 days, how much of that is going to be Mandalorian specific, how much of that is going to be selling the brand of Disney Plus kind of as this catch-all for all the nostalgia things you've ever loved plus new things. It'll be interesting, particularly because, as I'm sure everyone knows, Disney Plus is not the first one at the dance here. So we're well past kind of the, you know, hey, House of Cards season one, it premiered overnight. Well, it's appointment viewing today. Clear your calendar for, you know, tonight you're going to watch this brand new show, or Daredevil season one. Who will the first person be to finish it, to binge it all the way through without taking any breaks? Things of that sort. That's one way to cut through the conversation. Do they go that route? Do they just, you know, do big ad buys on ABC, ESPN, etc.? You know, time will tell.
Yeah, and when you consider it's a good problem to have, that they have a film coming out, that they have this first ever show coming, you have to wonder in the future, will there be attempts to avoid that? I mean, the film slate is kind of barren, nebulous, shall I say. It's not that it's empty. There's a number of projects in development, but the TV side is going to drive this for a little while and get to be its own thing. That with them shuttering Star Wars Resistance after two seasons.
Well, you mentioned the film end. I mean, can we lock in a guarantee that, hey, one of the trailers attached to Rise of Skywalker is going to be a 2-minute trailer for The Mandalorian Disney Plus? I don't know that as of, let me put it this way, I don't know that when the movie comes out, I don't know that there will necessarily be that need. Maybe Disney says, oh my goodness, look, we're at 50 million subscribers worldwide. Flip side is, you're going to have this huge Star Wars audience that may or may not know about The Mandalorian, and know that there's, at that point, most of the season will be out. To me, it feels like a foregone conclusion.
I mean, what kind of demands will be made by December 20th, Matt, that there better be a Mandalorian cameo in The Rise of Skywalker, or George Lucas will retroactively ruin everyone's childhood?
Well, this, of course, on a day, Pete, where it seems likely, maybe not likely, it's a step too far, it seems very possible the tickets could go on sale as soon as tomorrow, perhaps next week. There's rumors that the Rise of Skywalker runtime will be 2 hours and 35 minutes, which has already ruined childhoods, Pete, because that's way too short. it will be the, if it is 2 hours and 35 minutes, it will be the longest Star Wars movie ever released.
This after one of the chief complaints online was that The Last Jedi was too long.
Bringing it back to The Mandalorian, though, indeed, Pete, bringing it back perhaps to the lens of the distinguished competition over there at Star Trek, I think back to the months before Discovery came out, and, you know, similar concerns, how are they going to launch this streamer, and so on and so forth. Even, let's say, farther back to when a new Star Trek TV show was announced, here we are looking ahead to 2020, where, in terms of new Star Trek TV shows, there could be as many as three in 2020. I'm talking Picard for sure, Discovery for sure, maybe The Lower Decks comes out then as well. Interspersed are the Short Treks, which technically are a fourth series, although I don't exactly count them as such. This Mandalorian show, you know, where will we see Star Wars on TV in 5 years' time? What say you, spoiler Pete?
Well, it's curious that there's been a decided lack of news about the Cassian Andor series. We still don't have a name. We still don't have any actors formally cast other than Diego Luna. And we know that Alan Tudyk will be back as K2SO. So people are already pointing to that, like, that's it. The show's been canceled. They're Boba Fett moving this. When, calm down, you know, so much of The Mandalorian had been done before announcements had been made. So I think people need to, you know, in this era of just constant information, take a step back, take a deep breath. We're hearing far more about the development of a second season for Mandalorian, telling you Disney knows what it has and it wants and needs more of it to feed that beast. And we have the Obi-Wan series announcement at this point, and even a director with that, which in and of itself drew controversy.
Yes, Pete, the announcement of apparently the series director. I think even the Hollywood trades were a little unsure about that, whether she's doing the first block, the first episode, or the whole thing. But Deborah Chow joining the Kenobi series. She, of course, a veteran to us. She did an episode of Jessica Jones in that show's final season. She's done some episodes of Fear the Walking Dead. Pete, A Better Call Saul. And then two episodes, obviously unseen, at least by me, of The Mandalorian. So, I mean, obviously an up-and-comer there, obviously somebody who's incredibly talented, somebody who's directing work, goes back to, about 2014 or so. And certainly evidence that Star Wars on TV, built on this Mandalorian foundation, is certainly continuing to grow.
Yeah, and when you consider the number of, you know, popular IPs that she's played with, Star Wars would seem to be, again, having done some of The Mandalorian, you know, moving forward to do the Obi-Wan series would seem to be the next progression, but people still found something to complain about.
Well, and let's bring it back to Mandalorian here. The second season has been ordered. Work is underway. I don't know if they're actually filming yet, but I imagine it's probably closer than not. How many seasons do you think this goes? I mean, we obviously don't know from a creative end or things like that, but how many seasons do you think Kathleen Kennedy and Disney Plus would like to get out of their flagship Star Wars live-action TV show?
Well, I mean, given that these are 8-episode, at least at the start, seasons, I see no reason why it can't go at least 3. There seems to be, with some of these mega series developed a little further out, a far more defined, okay, this is going to go this long. I mean, we just recorded a Watchmen podcast for the forthcoming HBO show where people are up in arms. What do you mean? There's only 9 episodes and there might not be a second season. Well, that's not a bad thing. You know, I love Lost, Matt podcasts Lost, And, you know, there's that middle time where they're running in place. Larger mystery. And here's another Jack flashback.
Yeah, I remain convinced that the Jack tattoo flashback episode was them intentionally doing a bad job amidst, you know, doing 21 other episodes for the season, but doing a bad job just to say, look, we need to have an endpoint in mind. We're just stuck in the middle here. And I think that that's, I don't know that that's necessarily a legend that gets told round the, you know, the campfire when writer producers get together in Hollywood. But I think that that's an example of where TV was in the mid 2000s versus where it is now, where, you know, I think of Big Little Lies on HBO built to be a single season and then it's successful and everybody decides they want to work together. And HBO says, oopsie, we don't have season two contracts for anybody. Time to get out that, you know, that checkbook. And I think they're happy with that, the critical acclaim, so on and so forth. But in retrospect, hey, we have a four-season deal for the next Big Little Lies, for The Mandalorian, for Cassian Andor, whatever it is. We have that four-season thing locked in where you're not going to hold us over a barrel to say, oh, it's such a big hit, we want to merely do season two. Flip side is, we're giving you a ton of money up front. And I'm sure this is how The Mandalorian and Star Wars TV shows are done, where there's a lot of money up front. But we're doing contracts, so residuals really aren't a thing anymore, because 50 years from now, people will be discovering The Mandalorian on Disney+. So there has to be a finite point now so that there can be the infinite spigot of money down the line. So it's probably all built in creatively, contractually, etc. We'll just find out when, I don't know, Mandalorian series finale, Mandalorian killed.
I think these are very different as well, the Star Wars shows, at least at the outset, than the Marvel ones, not conceived to go more than a season. You know, we're not going to be podcasting the fifth season of WandaVision on Disney Plus, or, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier or something like that. So the hybridization of these super big one-offs that feed into the film universe, and then this first ever live action foray that Star Wars is doing, you know, what with the 50 million scripts that Rick McCallum has had in the underground location since like 2009.
Well, I will disagree ever so slightly in this way. I agree that I think many of the Marvel Studios Disney Plus TV series, because you can't say Marvel TV because that's a different division, I totally agree that those have been designed to be one, maybe two seasons at best. But it's kind of, I think they're taking the approach of, we have so much different IP, we're going to, in good faith, create a bunch of different shows, but kind of throw it all to the wall and see what sticks. I think that the shadow looms large of Solo over at the Star Wars division. And I think also, too, the notion of, hey, the Star Wars half-hour comedy, like, I don't think you're ever going to see that. I know that they've done animated stuff, but that's been a bit more clearly oriented towards a younger audience versus the movies that are certainly child-inclusive and child-friendly, but not, you know, not... The puppet show where in Jabba's super fun palace of learning. I think Star Wars tonally has a tighter leash on it. So I think you could make the argument, hey, money being able to be worked out, we can go, you know, I don't think Mandalorian and Cassian Andor and Kenobi are all being built as one epic 8 to 10 episode season. And then that's it. That's your Kenobi movie, kids. We moved the money over there. We did it as a TV show. I think these are all shows that could go longer.
I think anything's possible until it's not. But when you look at what Star Wars presents with these, I mean, I think the Kenobi one will be one and done. I want to be wrong there. I want to see more of it. And as you mentioned before, those threads hanging out from the Solo film, And what do you know? Emilia Clarke doesn't have any steady work at this point, other than, you know, the films she signs up for. So I think it's just a matter of time until we're seeing Kira, Darth Maul. You got to tell the Solo, you know, ticking off Jabba the Hutt story somehow. Does that somehow pop into Kenobi? It can't because of the timeline in Mandalorian.
Well, certainly exciting times ahead as we count down to the Mandalorian. With all the buzz that there's been, especially at New York Comic Con for other properties, it was kind of this post New York Comic Con glow where it's like, oh, all these great things coming out. Hey, nobody's really talking about the Mandalorian. Nobody's really talking about Disney Plus. And I think, Pete, this sounds familiar because do you remember when the Force Awakens teaser came out, you know, 10, nay, 12, nay, 24, nay, 36 months before it came out? Or, yeah, obviously I'm exaggerating, but that first trailer to re-announce Star Wars is back came out so far in advance versus, you know, when was the first footage of The Last Jedi seen? 6 months or less?
A little bit more.
But bottom line, I think, you know, we are in the last couple of days before a PR barrage, a marketing barrage, just unleashes itself for Disney Plus, and The Mandalorian has got to be at the forefront of that, particularly to articulate to adults, hey, this is a service for you. This isn't just Tailspin reruns and the, you know, Ube Iwerks bone cartoon from the 1930s. It's new stuff. It's great stuff. It's stuff for the family and grownups in the family, etc. So I'm ready to see more of this show. I'm ready to hear more about it, and I'm ready for it to start on November 12th.
So much of it has taken place in secrecy, and that will finally be there. It still feels kind of surreal.
This, particularly the November to December time slot where we're going to be watching, podcasting, theorizing The Mandalorian, along with Watchmen, along with Godfriend and Me, along with Runaways, along with a whole bunch of other stuff. We could not do it without the people who support us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek. They are the wind at our backs, particularly when the whole podcasting game gets a little busy.
Every contributor gets access to exclusive podcast content, so get yourself over to patreon.com/fantasticgeek today.
Pete, podcasting may be a dangerous profession. All those perks certainly sweetening the deal, but the best one, it's free. It's talking to you on Twitter. How can people do so?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R, J, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 10,683 followers. Can't be wrong. And unlike some of those other clowns on Twitter, I've actually seen things.
Well, Pete, we will certainly be updating our Mandalorian feed as news warrants. Again, we've been kind of in this media blackout. I think that that's about to ramp up in a big, big way. So whether it's new trailers, new clips, whatever it might be, maybe it'll even be the super fun Mandalorian pull them into the ship, chop them head off playset. I don't know, Pete, but we will certainly talk about more Mandalorian as news warrants. So with that, I will say adios to all the listeners and give you the final word.
No disintegrations?